I'd like to turn to Isaiah, the 6th chapter. Read a few verses here. Isaiah was a man that began to prophesy during the time when the divided kingdoms of Israel were both still intact. We'll start reading here. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." I want to back up and notice. Hopefully it'll be important to us. So we go on. The first verse of the first chapter says, "A vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. All four of these were kings of Judah." They were not kings of Israel. "And Israel fell captive to the Assyrians during the reign of Hezekiah." But in this 6th chapter, Isaiah said that he saw this. He had this vision in the year that Uzziah died. So we have to presume that it's toward the beginning of his ministry or his filling the office of a prophet. Isaiah is considered a major prophet in the Old Testament. There's a good chance that Isaiah was descendant of the royal family. He was not just a lowly person. More of an aristocrat type background. And many of the things that he writes are something that sounds like it comes from someone that's better educated or more capable and able to communicate his thoughts and ideas. So beginning in verse 1, he says he's seen the Lord sitting upon the throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With 20 he covered his face. With 20 he covered his feet. And with 20 he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the Lord moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." So that's the passage I want to read, and I want us to think about Isaiah most likely coming from a life of affluence, a life of ease, in whatever that meant in that day. But he got a vision of the Lord. And in that vision of the Lord, he recognized his incapabilities. He recognized his frailties and his lack of sufficiency in himself. He says, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the Lord." I've got a vision of the Lord. And in his vision, he witnessed this live coal from off of the altar of the Lord. This is not a literal live coal that's been touched to his lips. We know what that would do to your lips. But he sees this in a figurative vision, and this coal does a cleansing work on his character, his personality. And the eighth verse says, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then said I, here am I, send me. So my burden this morning is that we would talk about the call. The call is something that all of us will have to recognize. Isaiah responded to a call. He didn't respond to something that was just an opportunity or an advertisement. He didn't respond to something that just looked appealing to him, because my guess is it didn't. When you come from a lifestyle of ease and whatever age that you live in, and you receive a call for something that doesn't look very inviting, it's going to have to be something more than just the appeal or just the anticipation. I remember a time that we had got a new washing machine. This has been a long time ago. We got a new washing machine, and it was in, I don't remember what month of the year, but it was when it was cold outside. It was hovering around freezing. And we'd had a lot of rain. And the house we lived in at the time had an issue that I hadn't got resolved yet, to where when it would rain, the water would run across the backyard and run in the crawl hole, and it looked like a small lake underneath my house. And we got this new washing machine. The old washing machine had worked just fine, but the new one, when we turned it on, it went to pump out. It would start pumping to pump the water out of the washing machine and into the little drain pipe, you know, and the little thingy that goes in there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And after a while, it'd run for about 2 minutes, and all of a sudden you'd hear that water coming up that pipe, and it was too much for it, and it would come over the top of that pipe and out in the floor. Well, I can't remember what size the pipe was in my wall that went down underneath and the size of the trap. But the bottom line was the pipe wasn't big enough for my new washing machine. My washing machine pumped more water than the old one did. And we got the washing machine because our old one was conked out, and we need a washing machine. When you got small children around the house and all the things that gets dirty and all that, you got to have a washing machine. So there's not a lot to do except get under the house and fix this pipe. It's not something I really wanted to do. But I put my coveralls on, and I done pretty good until I got under the house. But I knew that I had a limited amount of time laying in the water. Now, my head could be out of the water, but you had to hold your head up, and the water was probably, you know, 3 or 4 inches deep down there. So I'm laying in the water with my, I got me a little plastic tub, and I got all the fittings I thought I needed. I've got my tools in this plastic tub that's floating around down there. I'm laying in the water fixing this pipe for my wife, because she needs to wash clothes. I'm going to tell you, if it wasn't for the calling of being a husband and a father, I wouldn't have been under there. And you'd have to have a good reason to call me to your house to do the same job for you. But I responded to it because it was a call, not because it looked like an opportunity or because it was an intriguing advertisement. That's not the reason I was there. I fixed that pipe because of the call, you see, that I'd accepted. Isaiah accepted a call from the Lord. And we're going to have to be in a place in our lives that we're willing to respond to a call that the Lord puts on us. I'd like to go to Amos, the 7th chapter. And I'd like to notice a different man that responded to a call of the Lord. Amos, we can tell by his own words that he did not come from the same background as Isaiah. He's a minor prophet. Amos said in chapter 7, beginning in verse 14, he said, "Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son." I wasn't from a background of having being a prophet. My family lineage, there was no one else that, this is not something I just picked up and went on with from my parents or my great grandparents or whatever. I wasn't, this not my background, okay? He said, I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. I was a man that worked with my hands. I was not an aristocrat. I was not someone that was used to being a leader of any sort. I was just a herdman. I was out there in the field with the livestock, and I gathered sycamore fruit. I'm a farmer. I work with my hands. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. I'm not going to go into all of Amos's prophesying or what he said. I want us to get a hold of the thing that Amos accepted the call. He didn't come from the same background that Isaiah did. He didn't come from a background of being polished, a polished speaker. And I want you to know that these are the verses the Lord used to talk to me about responding to a calling that he had in my life. He couldn't talk to me like he could have talked to Isaiah. He talked to me because I came from a background like Amos did. I was used to working with my hands. My dad worked with his hands. My dad was not a prophet, and his parents weren't either. So the Lord can call people. This is a point I'm trying to make right now. He can call them into his service from whatever background you might be. Amos wasn't someone that aspired to be a spiritual leader. In fact, his qualifications were far from that. You wouldn't think someone that was a gatherer of sycamore fruit or a herdman, somebody that's used to dealing with sheep and goats, would be end up being a prophet. I had a person tell me one time that being a mechanic and a preacher was a conflict of interest. That's my personal experience. But I'd like to move on. I know that we could spend time here and really, I believe that the Lord wants to call those in the younger generations to fill the gaps that are open and that are going to be opening as time goes on. And it's more than just saying an advertisement that says, don't you want to be this and don't you want to do that? No. The calling is more than that. Yes. It's a grave responsibility. And sometimes you feel that you feel your incapabilities. You like Isaiah did. He said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. Amos said, I'm just a gatherer of sycamore fruit. I'm a herdman. I'm nothing here that you don't really have the right material to work with. But when we respond to the calling, it's a big responsibility. Don't ever step out in a calling for the Lord and think that you have just made the deal of a lifetime, because you haven't. What you've done is accepted a responsibility. I'd like to think there was a point that you could retire, but I don't believe there is one. It's a lifetime calling. I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and I would like to shift our focus about the call this morning to something a little closer to home. Because not everybody is going to have a specific calling. All right? But we're all called. And that's the point I want to get us to. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and read beginning the 16th verse, he says, "For though I speak, preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward? Then, verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant to all, that I might gain the more." The Apostle Paul says here, I've responded to a calling. It's not because this is something I've aspired to, but it's a calling that I can't escape. And this is a very important factor in this. When we realize the Lord is wanting something out of us, we will come to a place that we recognize, if I don't step up to the plate in the calling the Lord has for me, I'm going to start losing ground. All right? It's more than just saying, oh, that looks interesting. I think I'd like to try that a while. No, it's more than that. The Lord, when He starts dealing with you and He has a calling for you as an individual, it may come to you as you may have some type of vision like Isaiah did. The Lord may reveal Himself to you. The Lord may put something in your heart and in your mind. But I'm going to tell you, as you begin to allow the Lord to work, there's going to come a place that you recognize that if I don't accept the calling that the Lord is putting on me, I'm backing up. I'm making a choice to go away from the Lord. That's how serious a calling is for a specific thing. I'd like to turn to 2 Timothy, the first chapter. And Timothy was a man that was greatly influenced by the Apostle Paul. He was a man that had a lineage of godly people in his life. His mother, his grandmother, and the Apostle Paul commended him for that. And we'll find here as we read, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 1, 2 Timothy, says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, Rodney, could you read on down through verse 13 for me, beginning in verse 4.
Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the power of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and hath called us, and with a holy call, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, For the which cause I also have suffered these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of the word which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus.
Okay, the Apostle Paul addresses Timothy here, and he is very confident in Timothy's standing with the Lord. And he is very confident of his background. And he wants to tell him, don't be afraid to accept the call. I believe Timothy was used in a level of ministry. But the calling begins somewhere else. It begins for all of us in this. He says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me of his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. There is a holy calling for every one of us. And not according to our works. None of us are able to live in our own strength acceptable to the Lord. All right? But according to his purposes and grace, which was given to us in Christ before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I want to impress on us this morning that the calling to Christianity is not a best choice or a value-packed commodity, but it's a real calling. It's not something that is on the discount shelf or the day-old store. It's something that is, it's a responsibility that we have. It's a responsibility that we cannot escape. Every one of us here is called by the same calling that Paul says that Timothy was. We're called to be a saint, to be a Christian in this world. Have you ever wondered if you don't respond to the call to be a Christian in the world that we live in, it's just like if someone fails to respond to the call that God puts on their life and he begins to open things up for them and reveal, this is my will. I'm talking about somebody that's already saved and determined to live for the Lord. And all of us would probably be ready to agree with me here today that if somebody receives a calling from God that's a Christian and they don't follow through with it, it's going to be to their detriment. Would you agree with that? So I'd like to say this. Everybody in this world is called to be a Christian. And if we refuse that, that level of responsibility is there. Have you ever wondered why sinful man is constantly searching for something to fill their life? We know that the world is more depraved today than it was when my parents were young people. It's more depraved than it was 20 years ago. Our morality is on a decline. The things that become acceptable, the things that become permissible, the things that become legal, the things that become obtainable to common people out there is because people reject the call to be a Christian. And they're looking for something to fill their life. They're looking for some kind of sense of excitement, some kind of sense of fulfillment, some kind of sense of gratification, some kind of sense of fulfillment of some sort. And because they do not respond to the call that God has put on their life, They go deeper and deeper. They're looking for something. That's why we have the song that sin will take you farther than you meant to go. It will keep you longer than you meant to stay. And it will cost you far more than you ever meant. I've got the words tangled up. You know the song I'm talking about. That's what the life of sin will do to us. Why? Because people, as a general rule, will not heed the call that's out there to be a child of God. If we don't respond to that, there will be a sense of emptiness and unfulfillment. There will be a sense of never quite being satisfied in life. Why is it? Maybe you have a good job. Maybe you have the respect of your coworkers or the community or whatever. But there's just something that's missing. And why is it? It's because I haven't responded to the call that God has for me. And when I respond to the call, it's going to be like the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy here. He says that in the 12th verse, he says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that what I have committed unto him against that day." The Apostle Paul says, "I'm not ashamed, and I'm confident that the Lord is going to be able to keep me and sustain me." And if we don't respond to the call to be a child of God, that's not going to be there. We're not going to have that confidence. We're not going to have that peace of mind. We're not going to have that satisfaction of knowing that God's able to keep us in whatever dilemma that we get ourselves into. I'd like to go to the 8th chapter of Romans and read some of the most, I feel like, beautiful words in the Scripture. One of you boys could read for me, or somebody read. Let's begin in verse 1 and read through verse 17.
"There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God."
Keep going, verse 17.
"But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelt in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together."
To me, I can't get over the beauty that's portrayed here. We are called to not just be a Christian all by ourselves, but we're called to be part of the family of God, to be a child of God, where we can cry out to him, Abba Father, and we can know his Spirit bears witness with our spirit. This is a calling It's a responsibility. It's not just a flash on the billboard. It's not it's not somebody standing on the street corner and hawking newspapers or something like that. It's a lot more than that. This is a calling, if I can get that point across this morning. It's a calling for us to be a Christian today. It's not just some kind of optional function or feature in the world that we live in. It's not something, well, take it or leave it. You know, some are and some aren't. No, it's a calling. And if we don't respond to a calling, it's going to be a detriment to us. It's going to be a detriment to us. He says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again of fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to be a joint. He wants to share the inheritance with us. He wants us to receive the adoption of His Father. He wants us to be able to feel the witness of God's Spirit with our spirit, that we are the children of God, where we can cry, Abba, Father. There are so many broken homes in this world today, and people don't know who their daddy is or don't know who their mother is. I'm going to tell you, we can respond to the call, and we can be adopted into the family of God, and we can know who our daddy is, and we can know who our mother is, and we can be accepted and receive that love. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture for somebody to respond to the call of God in their life. We look on and we see somebody that responded to a call, and we say, I'm so glad they responded. Their life has been such a blessing to me or to you or somebody. But what if they didn't? What if they didn't? See, the calling is so much bigger than some kind of optional thing. You know, you can go and have Best Choice wieners, and or you can go and buy the Oscar Mayer wieners if you want to. It's not a big deal. But if we don't respond to the call of God, it's going to be a detriment to us. We're going to wish that we had it when we come to the end of the life's way. We're going to wish that we'd responded to the call. I remember listening to a man tell me one time, he was up in years. Actually, he was down close to the end of his life, and I was just one of many that was there in the room. He wanted his family there. And he said, you know, there was a time in my life I felt like the Lord put His hand on me and He wanted something out of me. But he said, I wasn't willing to do that. And he tried to fill his life with other things. He had a respect for truth. He was raised the same way I was. He had a respect for truth. He supported it financially. I believe the Lord blessed him financially, able to provide well for his children, for his home, left his children inheritance, not millions of dollars, but he left them inheritance. I come down to the end of his life, and he had regrets, not because of his temporal things, but he had regrets of not responding to the call that God had put on his. What kind of impact could he have made? I don't know. It's a book that was never written. I don't want you to come down to the end of your life and realize, if I'd only responded. We have a song that says, had I only. Had I only. Had only given my heart. You know the words of that song. But I want to read some more in this chapter of 8th chapter of Romans. I want to read beginning in verse 26. Maybe we won't read it all. I'll start with verse 26, someone, and let's read through a ways here.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. What shall we say that, then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
Okay, let's stop there. We are called according to his purpose. What's his purpose? He wants to adopt us to be his child. He wants us to be able to cry out, Abba, Father. He wants us to be able to respond to the relationship he wants to have for us. He doesn't want us to be stumbling around looking for fulfillment in all the things that the world has to offer. Yes, we've got to have a level of education, and we've got to have a level of income to support ourselves. We got to have food and clothing and shelter and transportation and all of those things. But I'm going to tell you, if I allow myself to look for fulfillment in that, there's people that's went to school nearly all of their life and never been fulfilled. There's people that's had... I heard about somebody just recently that if they drove a different vehicle every day of the month, they couldn't get around to all of them that they owned. They had a huge building just full of things that they could drive. It was like, and they weren't, you know, just old clunkers. They were nice, expensive vehicles. And they would have took them at least 2 or 3 months to get to drive every one time if they just drove them one a day. Do you think this person is fully satisfied? Probably not, because I heard that he had another one being custom built for him. He still hasn't met it yet. You know, if you have all of the prestige and honor and all of those things, the satisfaction is not there. But we are called today to be satisfied and to be fulfilled as a Christian in this world. And I promise you, if we reject that, we're going to go through life searching and stumbling for fulfillment, and we're never going to get it. He ends this chapter saying, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. I want to tell you, folks, this passage of Scripture is so special to me. As a young man, I'd endeavor to start living for the Lord. And I came to some difficult places. It wasn't just I was behind on my homework at school. And it wasn't because some girl told me she didn't like me or something. It wasn't that at all. This was a serious thing in my life. And I came to the place that I felt like I didn't know if I wanted to go on or not. And I opened my Bible up. I don't remember how old I was. I was probably about 13 years old, something like that, 13 or 14. Might have been 15, somewhere in that range. And I opened my Bible up, and I felt like the Lord gave me this passage of Scripture. Beginning in verse 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or nakedness or peril or sword? He says, none of this will separate you from the love of God. It spoke to my heart then. It speaks to my heart today. It's what brings me satisfaction. It's what brings me fulfillment in my life today. And I want to tell you, this is what it means to respond to the call that God has for us to be a Christian. You can be full. You can be complete. But only if you respond to the call. I want to look at one last scripture in 2 Peter, the first chapter. And as a young man, I remember hearing Brother Mark Sammons preach many times. He was a very steadfast figure at the Monarch camp meeting. And I remember he was still there as a minister when I began to minister a little bit, remember some of the things that he said to those of us that were younger. But one of the things he taught us is encapsulated in this verse, 2 Peter, the first chapter and the 10th verse. He says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do those things, you shall never fall." He spoke to us many times, and he had a thing that he repeated a lot. He says that we can have a no-so salvation. And you can know that you're saved today. You know, you can know that you're responding to the call of God to be a Christian today. And he reminded us over and over, challenged us to have a no-so salvation. And I'm challenging you today to respond to the call of God to mankind. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, to respond to that call. I'm going to tell you, if we don't respond to the call, we're going to go through life looking for fulfillment. We're going to looking for something to fill up my life and make me feel whole. And it's not going to be there. It's going to be emptiness. And we think we can go through this loophole. That's why drugs are addictive. That's why habits are addictive. There was a sense of euphoria that you got. You want to do it a little more to get a little closer to total fulfillment. It just don't happen. But I'm going to tell you, we can know that we're saved. We can know that we've responded to the call. And it's a life that can be truly blessed and fulfilled. I'd like for us to stand and sing number 394.